Amen. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 through 25. We are going to continue with the Christmas story this morning. Look at some other things too and pray that the Lord speaks to us. If you would like to follow along, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Let me say this before I forget it. Sitting on the front pew are a couple of boxes with our gift to all of you. And they're wrapped in different paper, but they're all the same. They are devotionals, as we've gotten you before. And we pray that they will be a blessing and an enrichment to your life and your walk with the Lord. I ask that you just take one per household and that you read them. They're daily devotionals. They're by Dr. David Jeremiah, and I think they will be a blessing to you. And we weren't here to Sunday before Christmas to get to give them to you then, so we brought them this morning. So please come by and pick one up after the service. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Scripture, your holy word that you have brought to us in the Bible. Thank you, Father, for this account that your Spirit inspired the Apostle Matthew to pin down, and that you have preserved and brought to us. Lord, let us hear your voice this morning. Let us see Jesus, Holy Spirit. Teach us, show us, lead us, that we may know that we have together been in the presence of the Lord today, and that our lives are blessed and enriched to your glory. Pray, Father, that you will guide us throughout this time and bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. After reading this account and noticing all the involvement of God on the earth, I would ask you, is there room in your theology, what you really believe and think about God and your relationship with Him? Is there room in your faith? Is there room in your life for God to do the extraordinary? When He speaks, do you listen? Do you believe? Then do you act? Now, we're not told a whole lot about Joseph. We're not given a lot of details about him, and by the time the Gospels start with the story of Christ's ministry. Joseph's gone. He has passed away, gone into heaven, and so we don't really hear or know that much about him. But in this account, and in the accounts that we have here and in Luke of his involvement in the coming of Christ and what we call Christmas, he obviously was a man God chose. He's just an everyday guy, just a carpenter, a tradesman. But the scripture says he was a just man. He desired to do right, but to do it with compassion. You know, a lot of people are right, but they're mean being right. Joseph was a just man. He wanted to do right, but he wanted to do it with compassion. He was a man of mercy. Micah 6:8 says, "He, God, has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." I think that's a pretty good verse of scripture you could probably say was one of Joseph's favorites. One that he used for a life verse. But we see some things about God, in particular, that God speaks. Through his spirit, through his angels, by his word to us, even in dreams and visions and circumstances and poems and songs, in myriads of ways, because God is so creative. But his desire is to communicate with us, to speak to us, to give us the opportunity to engage with him, to experience him, even as he did Joseph and Mary. That's what eternal life is all about, a relationship that lives, that breathes, that grows with him. Now, needless to say, we can easily hear something and think it's God and not. That's one reason why Solomon says in the book of Proverbs that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. That's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ and leaders in the faith, so that when God speaks, when we sense that we're hearing something from him, that we can, if we need to, we can seek counsel, we can seek wisdom. But the point is not to be so afraid of making a mistake that we fail to believe, much less act and give opportunity to God to reveal his glory. But God comes and he speaks to Joseph. Joseph had every right to put her away. They have not consummated their marriage yet, and she's found with child. He has, as I said, every right, and no one would have blamed him had he put her away, but being a just man, having compassion, wanting to be merciful, he was going to do it privately. But God is paying attention. Thank the Lord. Even with what's going on in our heads, God is paying attention. And while Joseph is asleep, an angel comes and speaks to him. God is spirit. You can't see spirit. So God sends angels. That's literally what the word angel means. The word that's translated angel means messenger. One who speaks for God. So when he speaks, it is God speaking. And he comes in this dream. And he says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, it was not like Greek mythology where the gods in the Greek mythology had relations with human women. This is miraculous. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and miraculously Christ was conceived in her womb. That's why she remained a virgin until after Christ was born. That's why she could still be referred to until Christ, after Christ was born, as a virgin, which was a witness to the power of God. This is a powerful event. This is an extraordinary event. This is something that's never happened before. Now, it's not like it had never entered the mind of any Jew that a virgin might be with child, because Isaiah had prophesied it so many hundreds of years before, but it had never happened. The message comes with room for faith. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now Joseph could have woke up and shook his head and said, I shouldn't have eaten that pizza last night. But he didn't. He had room for God to be God. And in his faith, he believed. He believed the experience, the hearing, I suppose in a dream, the seeing of this angel and this message, that he need not be afraid of taking Mary as his wife because she had not been unfaithful, but miraculously the Holy Spirit had brought about the conception of Jesus Christ in her womb. And when she gives birth to this son, the angel says, you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. More than once throughout this, God spoke to Joseph, this whole process, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Had Joseph not been willing to believe that God had the power and the willingness and the ability to communicate with him personally and even in his dreams, and based on prophecy from the Old Testament, we might not have seen Jesus. Certainly wouldn't have been able to come through Mary and Joseph, but because they believed, and if you read the account in Luke where the angel visited Mary, you see both of them were willing to have faith that God could and would and was doing the extraordinary. That it was outside of the box. And because of that, not only did they experience the miraculous and the glory of God, but they participated with God in the salvation of the world, in what he was doing. How do we know Joseph believed? Because he did exactly what the angel had said to him. So all this was done that it might be spoken. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. And Joseph took it that way and believed. And because he believed, almost 2,000 years later, we are talking about him here this morning. But much more than that, because he believed, God's plan was fulfilled. And Christ was born and raised by this just man. And he grew up. And he became our Savior. Joseph honored and patiently cooperated with the Lord's will. Scripture says he knew her not until after Jesus had been born. That's some elements of what a life of faith and walking with God and being a vessel of his glory involves. It involves God doing the extraordinary, and our believing it, and believing it, acting upon it, cooperating with God. It wasn't up to Joseph to make it happen. It was the work of God. But Joseph's believing gave him the opportunity to cooperate with God. His name shall be Jesus, for he will save. He will save humanity. Every man and woman, boy and girl who's ever breathed was in need and is in need of saving. Because they cannot save themselves. Jesus, the Savior, he will save his people. Jesus won't save everyone. He's willing to save all who come, but he came to save his people. Everyone who says yes to him. Everyone who believes on him, everyone who is his, he came to save. And save he will. And he will save them from their sins. Everyone has them. Everyone has secrets. Everyone has regrets. And Jesus came to save his people, everyone who belongs to him, from their sins, from the power, from the consequences, and finally, from the results of sin in eternity. He came to save us. And when we say yes to Jesus, our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. And you, if you are in Christ, are forgiven. So live with it. Let that be the ruling factor in your mind, that you are forgiven because Jesus came. Because Mary said yes and believed, and because Joseph said yes and believed and obeyed. Because of that, Jesus, the Savior, one named Savior, came to save. It cost Joseph time, patience, involvement, embarrassment. There were things involved in it. News usually has two sides to it. It's like a couple fellas I read about who grew up loving baseball. They played while they were children in the little leagues around the community, and they got in school, they played baseball. They got in college, they played baseball. And they grew up together loving baseball. And they followed baseball all their lives, and in their latter years they both agreed, because they both knew the Lord, they both agreed that they really wanted to know, did they play baseball in heaven? Was baseball a game that's played in heaven? So they agreed if one of them passed before the other one, they would be sure and let the other one know whether they played baseball in heaven. A week later, one of them passed away. And after the funeral and everything was over, and the living brother went to bed that night, the other one showed up at the foot of his bed. This is a story, y'all. Showed up at the foot of his bed and said, I've got good news and bad news. He said, really, what is it? He said, the good news is, yes, they play baseball in heaven. I got there and you wouldn't believe the stadium they got in. We play baseball in heaven. He said, that's great. I'm so thrilled. We love that together. That's great. He said, oh, but wait a minute. You said there was bad news. He said, yeah, you're pitching Sunday. Good news usually comes with some some costs. But the angel came and spoke to Joseph. And Joseph had room for God to be bigger than anything he'd ever seen, anything he'd ever heard, or anything he'd ever experienced before. I doubt seriously that Joseph had ever seen an angel before. We're not told. But the fact is, when this angel came, and came in a dream, It wasn't like with Mary while she's awake and Gabriel came in a dream while he's asleep. But there was room in Joseph's heart for the godness of God. And I hope there's room, and I pray that there's that room in our hearts, because that's where we experience being with God, who is beyond, like we was talking about in our Sunday school class this morning. God is beyond what this computer can figure out. He won't fit in the computer. You can't base your relationship with God just on what you can answer or define or understand, because God is God. But that's why he sent Jesus. Because Jesus is God with skin on, so to speak. And he came to save us. He came to fulfill God's intention, to begin the fulfilling of what God began in the beginning, for God to be Emmanuel, God with us. That's God's desire. That's why we need room in our hearts and in our lives, in our belief, in our thinking, in our theology, in our faith, for God to be present and active, involved, and inviting us to step out in faith with him. That's what God intended. That's how it ends up at the end of the book, remember? Revelation 21:3. John says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God, his dwelling place, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." That's why this is so important. That's why Joseph's example is so meaningful to us. Because God's heart and desire is to live with you. Not just your Savior, not just your ticket to heaven, but your best friend, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Comforter, your strength, your life. Years ago, someone wrote a poem that I think fits this very well, and it makes our point today about how important Joseph's life and experience and responses to God were, because it brought about Emmanuel, God with us. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village, where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life. And that's the title of that poem. So the question is, are you his? And if you are, follow Joseph's example and let God be God in your life, your best friend. And when he puts it in your heart, respond like Joseph. Believe and act on what he says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Joseph's example. Thank you for this man, Lord, whom you chose to use. And a man who is an illustration to us of a vessel whom you will be glorified in. And let us, Lord, follow him as we follow you in being believers, willing to walk with you and be used by you and experience Emmanuel in our lives day in and day out. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.